Thank you, Paul. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians, the second chapter, as we continue our study in the book of Philippians, looking at verses 12 through 18 today. A few months ago, I decided that I didn't have enough bookshelves at my house. Now, I have a confession to make. I'm a little bit of a bookaholic, if that my wife would tell you that I have more books than I need, but I decided I needed some more bookshelves. So I decided a few weeks ago to build some bookshelves. So I went and got the wood and got the saw out and cut the wood, put it together, painted it, did all of the things necessary that was to build those bookshelves, and now they're downstairs in my office. But I have a question for you. Who did the work? Who does the work when we build these things? And by the way, I am not a master craftsman. If you look at it, you can find all kinds of things wrong with it. I'm not a master craftsman. But really, who did the work? Did the saw do the work? I mean, the saw cut the wood. I held the saw. Did the electricity do the work? It was the one who did the turning of the blade to make it cut through the wood. The wood's holding the book, so did the wood do the work? Or did I do the work? Well, we ask ourselves that question as we've been looking at this book of Philippians. We also can ask ourselves that same question of who does the work in our lives when we talk about things such as unity, which we've been looking at for the last couple weeks, that Paul said to the church there in Philippi. So if you have your Bibles, turn there to verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2. If you'd like to, you can also follow it on the screen as I read from God's word. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ Jesus that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We trust and pray that as we look at these important verses, that you would speak your truth to us, that we would look at those things that you have for us in our lives, and that we would be faithful to your direction and your calling. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. So as we've been looking at this book of Philippians, when we got to chapter 2, Paul is pointing out the importance of unity in that body of believers. And as we've been looking at that, Paul puts some great emphasis on this unity of the body. And in the first four verses, he gave us, as we pointed out two weeks ago, the foundation of that unity, which is a relationship with Christ. And then number two, last week, we looked in those verses that he pointed out to us really the supreme example of that unity. And I always read those verses, and I never cease to be amazed by those verses. He being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation. He took everything that he had, every advantage, that everything that we're hoping for, everything that we're desiring, everything that our sister Jean is celebrating this morning, streets of gold, presence with Christ. He took all of that, presence with the Father, and he separated himself and set that aside for one reason only, you. He did it for you, and he did it for me. And so in light of that, he tells us in these verses that the great question then is, who's doing this unifying work? If he did this work in us, then what are we supposed to do? Is God the one who's doing the unifying work, or are we the ones who are doing the unifying work? See, sometimes you hear preachers standing up here and say, well, we need to have unity, and we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we. And we went we all the way home. But that's, I think if we look at that, we become proud and arrogant because we look and say, look what we have done. Look what we are doing. Now, there's nothing wrong with being pleased, and there's nothing wrong with being proud of what God has allowed us to do. I had the opportunity this week to give someone a tour of our facility, and I was walking around talking about this thing and showed them our gym and showed them a tree house and showed them lookout. And if you've never walked around our facility, we have much to be thankful for. Amen? But we realized that all of this that we have is not because of us. It's because God blessed us. And God has seen fit to lead us. And not only us, but those who came before us, who saw the vision of what God wanted to do on this piece of land some 30 years ago. And God asked us to look at what does he desire us to do so that 30 years from now, when most of us, or when some of us at least, will probably be gone. Yeah, some of us will be gone. They can look back and say, thank God for the faithfulness of that group of people. But who does the unifying work? Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because I think in the verses that we're looking at this morning, Paul reveals to us two things. That God must be at work in us for this to be accomplished. And so we ask ourselves the question, what has God designed and what does God desire for us to do? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever stop for a minute and ask yourself, what in the world is God trying to do in my life? Anybody besides me ever do that? Scratch your head and go, God, what in the world are you trying to do? I've done that a lot, scratch my head and ask that question, and I wouldn't encourage you to do it because you see what happened, but we do. We stop and ask God, what are you doing, God? I think that's a legitimate question for us to ask. But I think the answer to that is what we're going to look at for just a few moments, because I think there are three factors that are involved really in this work for God and this work of God in us that Paul points out in these verses. And so let's look just for the few moments that we have together at those three things. Number one, I think that he tells us that our work is to be cooperative. Now, cooperative with him and cooperative with each other, but primarily that our work is to be cooperative with him. Notice what he says. He says, you continue to work out your salvation. That means there needs to be an active part. If I'm not actively working to develop my skills, to develop my gifts, to be used by God, there's something wrong. Work out your salvation. And don't do this so that people can walk around and you can walk around going, look at what I have done. Would you look at me? You know, you sure are lucky to have me. It was Valentine's Day this week, and Darlene sent me this card, and in this card, she said she was lucky to have me. And I love my wife, but she shouldn't lie. She's not always lucky to have me. And the truth, plug your ears, honey. I'm not always lucky to have her either. So it's not that we walk around telling God, you sure got a deal when you got me. No, we work out, we do the work, the working out of our salvation. We do it, though, with trembling and fear. And here's what happens. Why do we work it out without having this boastful attitude? Here's why. For it is God who works in you. Do you realize that every day when you're out there living that life, that God, the very creator of the universe, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, is personally and individually working in the life of the believer, that if you're a child of God, that God is working in your life each and every day. That the things that he's doing, he says to you, I want you to live a life of holiness, not so that you'll be good enough, but I want you to live a life of holiness. I want you to work out your life in coming to that point of sanctification, that not only do you have all of me, but I have all of you as well. Why? How do we do this? We do it when we have a will and have actions that fulfill his good purpose. Not my purpose, but his. So what are we saying here? How do you work out? Well, first of all, is to be cooperative. And we see that in the fact that the foundation of our cooperation is obedience. Look back at the passage, what he says to us. He says that we continue for a God who wants to work in us, verse 11, for God who works in us to will and to do in order to fulfill his good purpose. The only way I can do what God wants me to do is be obedient to what God wants me to do. And that obedience there, it's interesting, the word that translated obey means basically to heed a command, to do what the commander tells me to do. Now, I was never in the service, but I have a number of friends who have been, and they talk about the importance that when the commander said to do something, you did it. And you did it without hesitation, so that when you were under fire and you were given a command, you acted. And many of you in this room know much more about that than I do. But the idea here is the foundation then of our cooperation is to reach that level of obedience that when God says to us, this is what I want you to do, you don't question, you don't murmur, you say, yes, sir. I've had to go through that recently. God said to me, I want you to do something. That something, by the way, was to consider becoming the pastor at Owosso First Church of Nazarene. And I said, just like I'm preaching this morning, and I said, oh, yes, right, I'll do that. No, I'm sorry, that's not the way it worked out. I remember I was sitting in my office the night when the Lord was starting to work on me. I go, you got to be kidding. You have got to be crazy. Number one, I'm an old man. They need somebody young. Number two, you know, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. But God says, trust me, and I'll take care of the rest. And you know what? I believe that God is going to take care of us, regardless of what happens. I believe God's going to take care of us. Don't you? So the foundation is obedience. He tells us, I think, the second thing, that this obedience is active, not passive. Not only to will, but to also to do. In other words, we don't sit back and say, okay, God, I'm going to cooperate with you by sitting here and waiting to do what you tell me to do. And until you tell me to do it, I'm going to sit here. No, that's not it at all. It is an active obedience. And so he uses those words to work. And it's interesting here that he talks about two different words for work in this passage that we're looking at. In the first word for work, he tells us that basically what he means here is to work out, or really it's related to the idea of fully accomplish or fulfill our task. That's our job. He wants us to work out our salvation. He wants us to accomplish the task associated with his calling of us. But then the second one is the word that we get our word energize from. And it says, for God will work in us. In other words, when I am doing what God wants me to do, when you are doing what God wants you to do, God will come in and he will energize you. He will fill you up. He will give you the energy to do what he has asked you to do. Because I firmly believe, based on the word of God, that God never asks us to do anything that he doesn't give us the power through the Holy Spirit to do it. Amen? He desires to do a work in us and through us. And so it's not just passive obedience, it's active obedience. But he says, number two, Not only is our work to be cooperative, he said, number two, our work's to be done without complaining. But complaining is so much fun. Isn't it fun to complain? Oh. Notice what he says. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. I want you to think about this last week. Just stop and think about this last week. Did you complain about anything this last week? Was there any complaint this last week that you did? Did you complain? I got to look this direction because I had a conversation with somebody on this side, so I'm going to preach to you. Did you work real hard at cleaning up the whole house and somebody came in and messed it up? And it's like, rah, rah, rah. You know, you get it all done, everything's working fine, and someone comes in and messes it up. Do everything, everything without grumbling or complaining. Everything. We can't be like Adam. Remember Adam? Why did you do this, Adam? That's an easy answer. God, it's this woman you gave me. And he comes to Eve and says, why did you do this, Eve? And she said, that's easy. Lord, it's this snake you created, passing the buck. He says, do everything. Here's what happens. When I do what God wants me to do, then I will shine like the stars. I will shine like the stars. I will be a transcending power among my fellow man. Our work is to be done without complaint. First of all, our attitude will have a significant impact on our ability to get things done. Do you know that Chuck Swindoll, pastor of a large church out in California a number of years ago, said that most of the things we do is 90% our attitude and 10% our actions. 90% of what we do is our attitude. And we can do great things and walk out exhausted because we've done it with the wrong attitude. Or we can do humble things and do it to the glory of God because it's not about us. It is about doing His will. So, first of all, He tells us in these verses to do it without grumbling and complaining, so that we may be blameless and pure children of God without fault and not being warped in this generation. See? So he tells us why, then, in these verses, to check out our attitude. First of all, he tells us that our attitude is significant. Then he tells us why our attitude is significant. Number one, it's because we should never give the unbeliever a reason to condemn us. When you say, I am a Christian, when you say, I am a follower of Christ, those who are not followers of Christ bear in on you. They look at you with a different set of eyes. I was talking to someone recently, and they found out, you know, we were just talking, and everything was fine. And then they said, well, what do you do? And I go, well, I'm the interim pastor at Owosso First Church of the Nazarene. Oh, all of a sudden, everything changed. Not with me, but it's like people look at us differently when they understand that we are Christian. They should. We should be different. Not that we're going, oh, look at me. But if Christ is in us, it should make a difference in how we act, in how we think, in how we behave, and how we relate to others. Amen? So my attitude then should impact how I relate to unbelievers, to believers as well. But the second thing I think he reminds us is this: our attitude will be evaluated by Christ as to its positive impact and effect. Notice what he says. as you hold firmly to the word of Christ, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain. That our actions and our attitude has an impact on others. So the first reason is that we cooperate. The second reason is that we consider how that cooperation affects others. But then there's a third reason, and I like this one. Our work is to lead us to celebration. Don't you like to celebrate? I love celebrations. My brother-in-law turned 70 years old last week, and last night we got together and had a celebration. Now, part of the reason I love celebrations is because it usually involves food. And I love food. It doesn't always love me, but I love it. But it's celebration. But God says to us, notice what he says, and I am glad and rejoice with you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So the work that we do is to be cooperative. It is to be without complaining, but it's also to be a work of joy and celebration. And that when you and I are living the kind of lives that God wants us to live, it ought to change our lives. See, it needs to be a celebration that is positive regardless of circumstances. Notice, again, look at these verses. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, don't forget when he penned those words, he was still in prison. And he didn't know the outcome. We can look at it later, and we know the outcome, that he was released and he went on to Spain and continued to have ministry. But he did not know that. He did not know whether or not he was going to be dead the next week or not. So sometimes we go, well, I really like to celebrate, but I can't celebrate because you don't know everything that's going on in my life. And the fact of the matter is, I don't know everything that's going on in your life, and we don't know everything's going on in our brothers and sisters' lives. But this one thing I do know, God wants to work in us. He wants to bless us, and he wants us to celebrate his blessing. Amen. And so, we have joy, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations, regardless of all of the things that are going on in our lives, we have joy because it is God who works in us. We can face any circumstance with joy when we allow the work of salvation in our lives to be accomplished through what he would have us to do. What are we saying? Well, the fact of the matter is, I started with asking the question. The fact of the matter is this: the electricity, the saw, the wood, and the laborer. That's who did it. We all did it together. And the work was accomplished because all worked together. So it is with God. I am convinced, I believe, that God wants to do a wonderful work through the life of Owosso First Church of the Nazarene. Don't you? I believe that we live in a community that has needs, that those needs can only be met in one place, and that place is not just Owosso First Church. That place is met through this word. I believe that the answers to the world's problems are in this word and in this word alone. And I believe that if we will commit to take the word of God and the truths of God and carry them outside those doors to the people that are in need as the people of God, that God will bless it. And I believe that God can do a transforming work in our community for his honor and for his glory, and that he can use us to do it when we do what God wants us to do, when we look forward, when we see and ask ourselves, God, what are you wanting me to do? And how are you wanting me to do it? And how are you wanting to work in me and through me to accomplish your will? It is not what you want. It is not what I want. It is what God wants through us. Amen? And I am excited to see what God can do in and through us when we join together in unity of body and join together with unity of the Spirit and unity of God and follow and obey God's word. And so, I look for the day that God will say to us, like I am sure he said last week to Gene Cook, well done, thou good and faithful servants. May we be faithful. And may it start with me. And may it start with you. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We don't have to try to do this and muddle through this ourselves. You tell us that you want to do a work in us and through us, a work of transformation, so that we can take your word and the commands of your word and go out to a world that so desperately needs you, and it can be transformed, not for us, not for our glory, but for yours. May we be people that honor and glorify you. Thank you for the ministries of this church. Lord, thank you for the ministries of our teenagers, of our quizzers. Thank you for their willingness to minister to us this morning through providing us with a meal. And so we pray for the hands that have prepared it, and we pray as we leave this place and work our way down to the gymnasium and rejoice and celebrate with them the work that you have called them to do, that you would take the food and bless it to our bodies. But Lord, for those, for all of us, as we leave this place, may we ask ourselves that question, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I accomplish your work for the honor and glory of God? And when we get the answer to that, we will give you the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.